아래 당은 그 사람 난명은 저기 레 균제 세디다 레 수술 지게 균쟁해 봐 레 수술 해 봐야 나 내레 폐쳐와 근데 맞지 봐다 맞해 봐 아니 제발 취미서 와서 어 되니기 안데 직 뒤서 안데 하고 와지 되니 응을 된다라 되니기 아 디봉기 룹제와라 디봉 세디는 저기 레미게 와디기 이제 봉고를 디봉하라다 되니기 le miki wa sayadi, le lam chu sayadi, te hako waji, di pa langdur chayali ya, dusin, nyamni che gores. Dadi le lam chu sayadi, ane kawa sung yore sene, ane san yi yi do nalai, san yi sung pari, ane di chayala, ane chik penrup tiki ki, dan dus tenchi nalai sung gores. Da san yi yi di le lam chu sayadi, sung gubi kimzayan kare sene, da ngan zuki, ngan zuki ya, dene ki, chik, Mansonle Kiegi, the Pechik, Deniki, Luna Yusumio Kone, Tiba Saba, in the Tiba T one get an Mansonle Kiki or Pasan, Chisantigi, Nishichewares, Kanamatopa, Diva Chimbores, Diva Chimbore, Dile Tibu, Mansonle Kiki, Tunga Bottom of Yunga Yung or Dins at the Dushin, Lelam Chiba, Dushin, Sung, and D, Doti, Sung, a Bang Bangadu, D Torcho, and a Givi, and Tawa Kasan. Alam Jusia, the Yamnesia, the essay, Ocasan, or did you read them?
Good morning. So last night, we having now concluded looking at the first part of the presentation on karmic cause and effect, we saw from Lama Tsongkhapa, he said, now that you've come to have a general understanding of cause and effect, of those four general characteristics, that karma is definite. In other words, happiness comes from causes, those causes are virtuous. All forms of suffering also come from causes, and those causes are non-virtuous. So karma is definite. Moreover, secondly, karma increases. Therefore, one should refrain from even accumulating small non-virtues and never ignore the opportunity to accumulate small virtues. And thirdly, that one does not meet the results if one has not accumulated the specific causes. So therefore, if one wants a specific result, one has to accumulate those causes. Merely wishing is insufficient. And fourthly, that causes created do not dissipate. They do not go to waste. So therefore, virtue one has accumulated will have a ripening effect. Non-virtue, though, one needs to purify. So having then come to understand the general presentation on karma, then Lama Tsongkhapa leads us now to this next section, which is having understood this, well then, what should I do? Well, what should I do with this knowledge? What is it that I should adopt and what I should abandon? There Lama Tsongkhapa says, come to understand the specific workings of karma through the presentation on the 10 parts of karmic action. And the first part that we looked at last night presents or shows how this was taught by the Buddha himself, as well as commented by the great masters far from India. So this is the presentation then on the 10 virtuous karmic paths of action and the 10 non-virtuous karmic paths of action. These are accumulated by means of the three doors of the body, speech, and mind. So it's imperative that one abandons or rejects the accumulation of 10 non-virtues because should they ripen as a propelling karmic imprint, they can but only lead to rebirth in the suffering lower realms. On the other hand, if one accumulates the 10 virtues, these are causes to attain excellent rebirths, and rebirths that will enable one to continue one's process of spiritual development.
So now
we continue, we'll continue in the text where Lama Tsongkhapa comes closer to presenting how to engage in these, the ten accumulation of the 10 virtues and abandonment of the 10 non-virtues. So now the second sub-outline here is how to greatly value this presentation.
And ジマ、アンジケ、トンハ、マソルマ、ケア、ダディネ、トンハニョア、ユンゴ、レセ。お、ディネギ、ドゥソイン、ジュケ、ダッチ、ハゴ、シェバ、シェアゴ、ゴレ。ディハゴネ、ディネ、ナネ、ガソレ、ミケウェ、ジュ、ジュエンディケ、ジュエンディケ、トンチェダ、デカセネ、ミゴ、ジュ、ギュレ、ジェバ、ナディケ、ジェバ、マンバナ、ドゥアニョウヨバザダ、ギュエンディシャス、ノトレシャスディ、オドゥシネ、ダンボ、ディアゴチャゴ、ワシゴ、レセ。
We need to come to understand the presentation on the 10 non-virtuous actions well. So we understand its various components, what constitutes an action as being a non-virtuous, and a various gradients of non-virtue. And one also needs to understand the karmic results that follow from those non-virtues. Both parts are required. One needs to know the result because this spurs one's determination to avoid non-virtue. And one needs to understand clearly what constitutes a complete non-virtuous act so that in one's avoidance or rejection of such non-virtue, one can do so completely.
It's
important to understand this topic well because a common misunderstanding is thinking that if one merely does not engage in a particular non-virtue, one is thereby accumulating virtue. In other words, if one thinks, oh, I don't kill, so therefore I'm accumulating the virtue of ethically, or the virtue of ethically abandoning killing. This is not necessarily the case. Merely not doing something doesn't mean that one is accumulating virtue. It means you're refraining, or you're not accumulating that particular non-virtue. But it doesn't therefore mean one is accumulating the virtue. So with speech, maybe this is more clear. If one does not engage in harsh speech, then one is not accumulating the non-virtue of harsh speech, but it doesn't necessarily mean that one is accumulating the virtue of ethically abandoning harsh speech. So, for example, when one's asleep, one is not killing, one is not telling any lies. But that doesn't mean that one is accumulating the virtue of abandoning killing or accumulating the virtue of abandoning lying.
In
terms of ethics, one often hears the verb to guard or to protect. One needs to guard oneself from engaging in particular unethical behavior. So this term, guarding or protecting, is of great importance. But to actually want to guard or protect oneself from engaging in ethics, there are the two prior steps of, firstly, understanding what is unethical, so in the presentation of the 10 non-virtues, understanding them well, as well as not just understanding the non-virtuous causes, but their suffering results that follow. So that understanding these two prior components of non-virtuous causes, understanding what those causes are in some detail, and their suffering results, leads to the determination, I will not do so. And this determination of, for example, I will not kill, this motivation, this intention not to kill, this is the ethical mind of the, guarding oneself from killing. This is how one creates the virtue of not killing. It's by having understood what is meant by killing, so understood the non-virtuous behavior, as well as its karmic results. Those two are the causes that lead to this ethical determination, I will not do so. I will not do so. And that is then the accumulating the virtue of abandoning killing. This then is ethical restraint. And so one, through coming to understand non-virtuous causes and their suffering results, one gives rise to the mind of ethical restraint of, I will not do so. This firm intention. And then one will also want to engage in the opposite of those non-virtues. And in this way, one creates excellent merit. So turning to the text, near the bottom of page 122, therefore the object praised in the Ten Grounds Sutra is the ethical restraint of abandoning the ten non-virtues. Lama Tsongkhapa then refers directly to the teaching of the Buddha to a particular sutra, and it's in this sutra that the Buddha praises the ethical restraint of abandoning the ten non-virtues. And why is this? Because through abandoning the ten non-virtues, one is stopping accumulating causes that will lead to undesired results, and will be rather focusing one's energy on accumulating the causes that lead to desired results. So all of us want happiness. We want to abide in a state freed of suffering. And having meditated well on the sufferings of the lower realms, we develop a determination, I must avoid those accumulating those causes that will lead to such a result, but rather accumulate the causes that lead to a rebirth in the higher realms. Moreover, I want to attain a state of lasting happiness, a state that is a happiness that is definite. In other words, it won't be lost. This is the state of liberation or enlightenment. This too requires specific causes, and those causes are accumulated in dependence on the very foundation, which is the ethical restraint of abandoning the 10 non-virtues. And it is for this reason that the Buddha praised this training so. Just can change the translation a little bit here. Doesn't really change the meaning of the verse, but nevertheless. So therefore the object, that word object, we can change to meaning because it's the same word. So therefore the meaning of what is praised in the sutra is the ethical discipline of abandoning the 10 non-virtues. Now that meaning then is Lama Tsongkhapa brings out through a further quotation. This is summarized in Entering the Middle Way, so Chandrakirti's text. For the definite goodness and higher states of ordinary beings, those born from his speech, those established for self-enlightenment, and the victor's children, the cause is none other than ethical conduct. The order of the English and the Tibetan is very mixed, so we're going to bounce around a little bit in the verse. So the Tibetan starts with ordinary beings. So here, ordinary beings refers to those who have not accumulated a mental path. So ordinary beings, they have to train in abandoning the 10 non-virtuous actions. So training the ethical restraint of abandoning the 10 non-virtuous actions so that they at least close the door to lower realm rebirth in their next life. Moreover, in addition to engaging in the ethical restraint of abandoning the 10 non-virtues, they need to accumulate or train in the 10 virtuous actions. So they're opposites. By doing that, ordinary beings achieve two results. One, they close the door to rebirth in the lower realms in the next life, and they accumulate the causes that lead to what we have in the first line, higher states. So rebirth as a human or god. So this is an indispensable, a foundational training for beings, for ordinary beings.
Sung
First line concludes with, so we looked at ordinary beings and then those born from his speech. So ordinary beings refer to any being who has not attained a path. Those born from his speech refer to those who have attained a hearer path. Hearers are those who engage in extensive hearing, so hearing the teachings of the Buddha, cultivating the teachings of the Buddha, but striving for their own individual liberation. So those born from his speech, so this word born, it can also be translated as arise from his speech. So the hearer arises from the speech of the Buddha, and they will have attained either the hearer path of accumulation or preparation or seeing or meditation. So such a practitioner will have attained one of these hearer paths or any of these hearer paths independent on the same foundation. The foundation of abandoning the 10 non-virtues and engaging in the accumulation of the 10 virtues. It is only independence on developing this powerful foundation that one can attain the hearer's paths.
In English, we go to the third line, those established for self-enlightenment. So self-enlightenment here refers to solitary realizers. So we've looked at ordinary beings, then we looked at hearers, and now solitary realizers. So solitary realizers, these are practitioners who are also striving for their own individual liberation and or enlightenment. Liberation and enlightenment can mean the same thing, but their own individual liberation or enlightenment. And so this is the meaning of self-enlightenment, for themselves alone, their own enlightenment or their own liberation. So again here, in this context, enlightenment and liberation does not mean Buddhahood, but individual liberation. So solitary realizers, those who have attained the paths of the solitary realizers, paths of accumulation, preparation, and so forth, any one of those, can only do so independent on the foundational training of abandoning the 10 non-virtues and engaging in the 10 virtues. So they too could only attain and then continue to progress along their paths independent on the same foundational training.
Tanyi
Then we go to the very bottom of the verse, and the victor's children. So the victor's children refers to bodhisattvas. So bodhisattvas here are those who have generated uncontrived bodhicitta in their continuum and thereby have attained the bodhisattva path of accumulation or progress beyond to the bodhisattva path of preparation, seeing, or meditation. Bodhisattvas, just like solitary realizers that we just looked at, or hearers, or ordinary beings, the very foundation of their training is that of the ethical restraint of abandoning the 10 non-virtues and engaging in the accumulation of the 10 virtues. Without this foundation, a practitioner cannot generate bodhicitta. So therefore, the paths of the victor's children or the paths of the bodhisattva remain closed to anyone who does not abandon the or does not engage in the ethical restraint of abandoning the 10 non-virtues and engaging in the accumulation of the 10 virtues. And the verse concludes with, the cause is none other than ethical conduct. So what Chandrakirti has presented in this verse is that for ordinary beings who have come to an understanding of the Dharma and recognize that due to the afflictions in their mind and the resulting non-virtuous behavior, there is a real possibility of falling into the lower realms in the next rebirth. Therefore, they have to ensure they close the door to such possibility and rather attain, as we see in the first line, rebirth in higher states. And the cause for that is none other than ethical conduct. Without abandoning the 10 non-virtues, that in ordinary being is in grave danger of falling into the suffering of the lower realms in the next rebirth. And for those who aspire to attain the paths of a hearer or a solitary realizer, they have as their goal the definite goodness of individual liberation, or those who aspire to the paths of the bodhisattvas, who have as their goal the definite goodness of Buddhahood, for them too, without developing an excellent foundation of ethical conduct where they restrain their mind within the confines of what is ethical, they too will not be able to cultivate the initial path of a hearer or solitary realizer or bodhisattva, let alone progress along paths. So therefore, the very basis for the attainment of every spiritual goal one has is ethical restraint. It is the indispensable foundation.
Chizanda
What is the final line? The cause is none other than ethical conduct. This needs to be understood well, because what it is not saying is that the sole cause for the states of Buddhahood or liberation is ethical conduct. And whilst ethical conduct is the cause for extant rebirth, it is an insufficient cause to be able to rapidly spiritually progress. There are additional causes required, such as generosity, patience, and others. And these causes are indispensable to ensure that one has an excellent rebirth to aid one's spiritual development, as well as to be able to attain and progress along paths. And for that, one needs also further causes, bodhicitta for those aspiring to the bodhisattva paths, and so forth. So when we see here the cause is none other than ethical conduct, we should be very clear that doesn't mean ethical conduct alone, but rather ethical conduct is the foundational cause. If one doesn't restrain one's mind ethically, one will not be able to spiritually develop. It is the very foundation of all one's spiritual development. This is the meaning, then, of the cause is none other than ethical conduct. It is the very foundation. Without it, the other spiritual goals we have cannot be achieved.
Just now moving up to what Lama Tsongkhapa wrote, this is summarized in Entering the Middle Way. So the sutra, the Ten Ground Sutra, is an expansive text, the meaning of which was summarized into this one verse by the great Pandit Chandrakirti.
Some Then Patroya, this Pasungorva, this Surim Sungasio. Then is that then is some danger, that then he told an anch that Luna used to be given Yamne Kang to do chicken singing, Yamne chickens and be that Dushin, some danger, Kunod Made chickens, if you kill and Dushin assembly at Tamcha Shache, then he so sorangi, that Luna used to be given Yamne Kang to do chew or his edge, don't that the decent word that you answer someone on to stanche, the Yamlin did that. Tarbata Temchiba Tobaji Dini Chiores, Dambo Tei Kurada, she's a Hor Dambo from the Sam Tustin, Dango Ures, Sumorada, Yamnaja.
Meaning then of what we've looked at here is that our body, our physical behavior, our speech, and our mind are the three doorways through which non virtue is accumulated. And it's through these non-virtuous causes that every single suffering experience results. Every experience or suffering we've ever had has come from non-virtue that we have accumulated through our body, speech, and mind. Not only does it relate to every suffering experience, but in particular, we should understand that it's the very cause by which rebirth in the lower realms follows. So recognizing clearly this process of cause and effect leads to the determination, I will not engage in non-virtue. I will not kill, I will not steal, and so forth. This is the indispensable outcome that we need to come to through this reflection. Because it's this motivation to restrain our physical behavior, our speech, and our mind is ethical restraint. To restrain our body within the confines, or our physical behavior within the confines of what is ethical, to restrain our speech within the confines of what is ethical, and to restrain our mind within those same confines. This is the practice of ethical restraint. And following from this determination will also come, and I must apply myself to virtue as much as I can. I must refrain from non-virtue and accumulate virtue. This is the outcome that we need to come to, and in a way that is transformative. So not just at times when inspiration arises, but at all times, watching our mind, ensuring that what our mind remains within the confines of what is ethical. Our mind is thereby at all times virtuous. And by doing this, at the very least, we will be accumulating causes that will lead to excellent rebirths. And excellent rebirths are indispensable so that we can continue this journey of spiritual development. And when we become sufficiently skilled in this foundational practice, we will then have the mental quality required to develop further causes that will lead to the attainment of Buddhahood, causes such as meditating on love, on compassion, and the wisdom realizing emptiness. And in this way, we will be living a life of great meaning, a life where we are not only causing no harm, but we are accumulating the causes for Buddhahood. But to be able to live such a meaningful life, this foundation of ethically restraining our physical behavior, our speech, and our mind is indispensable.
And Gabriel, Jinigi, Gabriel, Dinu Yobina, or that Dinu Yosa in the Mutish, Jigin, Dingi, Jimmy, and Biane, Yanja, some died. Look at some magic down by the Karma Chiglia, near Lumas, New Shell, and Neva Sava, Jigmea, and the Summer Chicova, and this some look over into Surim Sungo or whatever. Dike Wacha, the Roma. And DJ, Anti Gabriel, Anti Manjing and Teje, and Tixu Rashi, sure, and Diva Sava, ready, Inam, Aditian. やはり、おでてね、瞬そうでね、もうばなやで、ジェルやとしん、ちんめやすめやんやねやのさんだ。どうしね、やねやどやねのさんだべな、こさんのディパー、こんしでしゅしゃしゃれでね、あのどうしね、まじげ、まにじゅとんとやば、ちきたちきとんにじゅとんどうしんで、まとんとやてんじゃとんとやで、でよぐるまだ、たんぼほらのさんのちきたんはさんじ、ぎねまやがかとやかれはうるわ。
でね、ザダ、こう、ギリギリギリチェンコ、コムシェルマソン、シダン、コムセディロワチ、コムセディ、センディコ、コムリュースウェネ、ヤーチ、ディネグ、コムリュースウェネ、ギリギリチャンチェンディ、ヤギトワヤチャゴロワ、シダディネザドクシネン、ガブリリア、ディネキチュンベイナ、ダ、センシュマチャバチャンズウェイ、ムチチアダ、ジェゴゴロワダネ。
The way to meditate on ethical restraint is to develop the thought, I will not harm others. I will not harm others through my physical behavior. So therefore, I will not take life. I will not steal or not engage in sexual misconduct or not harm through my speech. I will not lie to others. I will not engage in divisive speech and so forth. So one goes through the 10 non-virtues with this determination, I will not harm. And one does so under the influence of not wanting the result that will follow. So in this way, one repeats one's determination not to bring harm. One can then build on that. I will actually rather bring benefit to others. I will bring benefit to protect them, to be kind to them, to show them care. I will not criticize others, but I'll rather I will not mentally criticize others or criticize them through my speech, but rather when I think of others, I ensure I think of their good qualities, and if I talk of others, I ensure I express their good qualities. So through thinking like this, hopefully it's abundantly clear how the training in ethical restraint is the very foundation, not just of restraining oneself from creating non-virtue, but it's the very foundation for all other good qualities we long to develop. Will not be possible to develop a loving attitude if one's behavior, physical, verbal, or mental, is not ethical, and so forth. So therefore, I hope it's very clear how foundational ethical restraint is. And to think like this, ideally, you do in times like this, or at home when it's quiet, and then you can spend some time thinking about this again and again, calling to mind real-life situations. But also throughout your day, you can just take moments. Whomever I'm about to meet, this person has many great qualities. I will ensure that those qualities come to mind, not their faults. And the way that I talk to them, I'll make sure that it is ethical, and I refrain from any non-virtue. In this way, we remind ourselves of our motivation throughout the day. And moreover, as beginners, when we reflect on our day, we'll recognize that at times, perhaps I wasn't mindful and I inadvertently took life, or I spoke to or about others in ways that were not kind or not skillful. We recognize then the faults that we performed that day, and we can purify by repeating this meditation. By recognizing in that circumstance, I could have rather responded in this way, and in future I commit to rather responding now in a more skillful way. And in this way we can use our reflection on ethical restraint to purify misdeeds committed.
And if you do this repeatedly over a sustained period, you will develop this habituation. Particularly the habituation one wants to develop will be experienced as even the mere thought of expressing harm physically or verbally will seem repulsive. Thinking badly about others will feel uncomfortable. With that foundation then, it's very easy in all circumstances, no matter how adverse, to feel gentleness towards others, tenderness towards others, and to have the space of mind to apply wisdom. So again, hopefully from this account now of how to meditate on this topic, it is abundantly clear how ethical restraint is the very foundation from which all other good qualities will grow, and therefore it should be the focus of your training. And this matches so well what we've been covering all here on Wednesday nights in Shantideva's Bodhisattva's Way of Life. Because the way to practice ethical restraint, both in meditation and in our daily life, is to rely at all times on vigilance and mindfulness. Vigilance is a mind that is aware of one's inner process, so that when one is sitting quietly, it's much easier to be aware of your mind. But through training that way, when you're engaging with others, when you're going about your daily activities, one as well-trained practitioner will be more aware of their mental response to what's going on around them. Their focus will be not so much on what's happening around them, but how their mind is responding. Thereby, they will be able to ensure that the afflictions are not arising, or if they are dispelled. And in this way, their ethics will be unmatched. They will not engage in harmful behavior or harmful speech because the mind is being kept within the confines of what is ethical. But to do this, it's indispensable to rely at all times on vigilance and mindfulness. Now we come to the third and final sub-outline within this topic of the principal teaching of the 10 paths of action. And that is that of the topic of giving up hypocrisy. Lama Tsongkhapa writes, that being so, if someone who does not rely on restraining the mind again and again, so as to guard even a single ethical discipline, were to claim, as for me, I am a Mahayanist, that would be a disgrace. And
밀려 준 시야다 되니 지수 시야다 되니게 지파 지금 마송 와지 아니 내가 대과 친구 인사해 두시는 시에베네 신도 매바래 배 교부래 스티베 노수 친구래 교부래 소다 매바세데
What Lamatsongkhapa has written here is very clear and very strong. And we should take this to heart. Because what we see in the first part, if someone who does not rely on restraining the mind again and again, so as to guard even a single ethical discipline, this really is referring to someone who's making no effort. They are not even bothering to refrain from killing, let alone any of the others. But ideally, someone should be making effort in all of these, in particular those of body and speech. But if someone is not even trying, but yet makes grandiose claims about themselves, I am a Mahayanist, I aspire to the paths of the Bodhisattva, this is deeply hypocritical. They are presenting themselves before others in a particular way, whereas what they're doing with their mind is pretty much nothing. And from what has been said thus far, it's hopefully abundantly clear that if someone is not ethically restraining themselves, it is not possible to develop a genuine, tender and loving attitude towards others. It's not possible to hold all beings as dear, no matter who they are and no matter how they are behaving. And therefore, if one is not restraining oneself ethically, love and compassion cannot be developed.
Gewe lam jubo dida ki yisa, san yesu gyurgi yisa. Da, gang chisi tsui bado, tana gewe lege lam jizamyang misung laas, wanjang tsik digido ngane tewa chimbo wa de, nga lana meba, yangadabo tsube janshub tsolo xie sena, gangsa dini shindu tsulche ba, zun chimbo mawa, san ye jomden de, tam ji ji jeng ar en ji din la lu ar che ba che bar ma wa de es en mo xin du qi yu du ji ji jing en lo bar dong ar zhuo xie song so os
then Lama Tsongkhapa quotes from the Sitigapa Sutra, by way of these 10 virtuous paths of action, you will become a Buddha. On the other hand, if one does not guard even a single virtuous path of action throughout his life, nevertheless says, I am a Mahayanist, I seek unsurpassed, perfect, complete enlightenment, that person is an utter hypocrite and a great liar. He is deceiving the world before the eyes of all the blessed ones and propounding nihilism. At the time of death, he will be very confused and fall in the wrong direction. Look at the first sentence. By way of those 10 virtuous paths of action, you will become a Buddha. This has already been presented, and the meaning is as said earlier. The foundation of one's training is the ethical restraint of abandoning the 10 non-virtues and the engaging in the accumulation of the 10 virtues. This is the very foundation of one's training. And if one develops this foundation well, one will achieve the ultimate spiritual goal, full and complete enlightenment, become a Buddha. So if independence on training in the ethical restraint of abandoning the 10 non-virtues, one will become a Buddha,
then so clearly one will achieve every single spiritual goal one has, excellent rebirths, attainment of bodhicitta, realize emptiness. Every single spiritual goal is attainable as long as one develops this foundation excellently, the foundation of the ethical restraint of abandoning the 10 non-virtues.
And in again, the Migi Jubongi Tutumdi, and in Chisi Suebadu, as a Mashi Badu, that Sosarangi, Tabatamji Kimoko, Tobala, that in again, the Sosu Chisi Suebadu, Sosukin, Mashi Badu, Yamlin Chiku, or there, in that. Denigi, so sugi, chisu suibar, the Yamlin chigu, dimajeva, masse, and a tana, migiwili, the chigi, the nimichira, denig, migiwili, lelam chigi, amateva, yanam, chig, migiwi chasanjig, chisu suibar, the sungu word, in a dimasuma masse, dinna chigra, naga chigra, masumache, the yamisumache, doche, and a neonja, the sum, so sungu, masuna, the digi, the gala was naga, ne onja, chig digidu,
Then, as the text says, on the other hand, so this then refers to someone, as we see here, someone who does not guard even a single virtuous path of action throughout their life. This is really presenting the starkest possible contrast of someone who really, throughout their life, makes no effort to restrain themselves. They say what they want, they do what they feel like, regardless of the consequences. So for such a person, they're not creating even a single cause for excellent rebirth. So for such a person, then, to make grandiose statements about themselves is ridiculous, claiming that they are a Mahayanist, for
example.
So for such a person who makes grandiose statements about themselves, saying to others, I am a Mahayanist, I seek unsurpassed, perfectly complete enlightenment, whereas with their mind, as well as their physical and verbal behavior, they really are not making any effort at all. Such a person clearly is an utter hypocrite and a great liar.
And that in a game, no, do she, yeah, Janet, she checked it, she got my answer. And then, Jeva in that, Gansa, Dini, Shinto, Sushu, Sushu Bas, and Sushu Patamajik, Dini, Jagina, Sosugi, Majeva, Jilia, mean, Lunga, Numbu, the Shale, Yachigi, Dorfosin, Dianjo, Hotan, and this year, the Sushu Bas, says a Junchimo Mawa, the Junchimo she wore a study. 가서는 수수기 냠는 가야 맞아 가지고 내가 잡아 챔보 인시도다 다 잡아 챔보 취 냠는 산조 고원 토바 류규에 대장아 잡아 챔보 시도 다 돈다라 나의 귤에 전주 심 계열의 잠니지 공고를 세디 로르 무슨 말하나 돈다라 디에도가 시고로 와 제가 되는 자디 준 챔보 시고래 미출래 미 준로 시고래 준 챔보 전주 심 맞게나 계열도 도다 되는게 나 인제 맞게 계열도 도 지금 되는 준 챔보 자르고 그래서 준 챔보 마와스
And for such a person, so far from what is ethical, they may well make claims about themselves by stating that I am a Mahayanist, implying I have achieved the paths of the Mahayana, I am a Bodhisattva. Whereas, despite presenting themselves in this way, this is not at all how they live their lives, and they haven't developed these qualities within themselves. So this is an extreme form of hypocrisy and telling of a great lie, whereby one claims spiritual realization or spiritual attainment one does not have. So this really is the most extreme version of someone who really makes no effort about themselves, but presents themselves as if they are accomplished practitioners.
That's it, and I'm doing that. Don't allow a
가르송으로서네 상의 주민의 지나서 상의 주민의 유치하던 용원수집의 캠바인자 제자도 수수기 되니기 시행되 다 상의기 킹고로서대 예 제대로 양호서 체맥의 삼로 당진 두시고로에서 제거다 상의 주민의 지나 다 킹고로대되니 야 체맥체제 한데 아 지키 지내는 것 두시네 소소미냐 마지나 지기용아 대학 지체버려서 저식이 주인식이요, 바디 상의 좀는 니기 긴기로와, 상의 좀는 니 최담 종목수도 캔바래. 자, 나도 삼단은, 오다딩이 니니신의 상의 긴기로, 야구요 말씀 배디시 삼단고로, 체면, 체유 삼단고로, 니니 체유 삼마다와지, 니 상의 좀는 니기, 안두신, 뉴일리야, 지금 무슨 긴기로, 니쟁가래야, 당연히 주인식부, 대, 태매시, 대, 주인식부 시골에, 예, 되지. 어, 네, 제발 마음에, 상의 좀는 니, 쟁가를, 지대로 루어져봐, 세대대. 그러니까, 어디서? 고맙단 거래, 사실.
Making such claims is not only deceptive to the person that it's being expressed to, but the omniscient Buddhas will hear, be very aware of what this person is thinking and saying. So, in a sense, they are lying to the Buddhas as well. And this is the meaning of, he is deceiving the world before the eyes of all the blessed ones. Propounding such false claims about oneself is not, again, not only deceiving those who hear with it, who are physically in your presence, but also the omniscient Buddhas. In making claims about one's spiritual attainment that one doesn't possess, one is, again, not only lying to those whom one is explicitly saying it to, but the omniscient Buddhas are also aware of your lies. And moreover, especially if one has taken vows, then one is breaking those very vows and telling here what's called a great lie. A lie about one's spiritual attainments. So one is then breaking the promise that one has made in receiving the vows. When one receives vows, one promises to live in accordance with those vows. So here one is also breaking the vows that one has taken by lying in a way that's contrary to those vows. And moreover, whether one has vows or not, but receives teachings and one may well have made commitments to one's teachers or to the Buddhas. I will train my mind in the way that you are teaching. And clearly, this person telling lies like this has not done so, but yet is claiming to have attained the results of this training they have yet to embark on.
When
you see an expression such as this, before the eyes, in this case, of the blessed ones, so before the eyes, this has two meanings. So the one is that through their omniscient consciousness, or if it's not to a Buddha, to a great bodhisattva, through their powerful clairvoyance, they are aware of what one is saying or doing or thinking. So that is one meaning of before the eyes. The other is that in their direct presence, so in their line of sight, you could say, one receive vows and promise to follow a certain mode of conduct, and now one is not doing so. So when you see this expression, before the eyes, then understand it has these two meanings, one of either their wisdom eye through, by means of their omniscience or clairvoyance, or through the before their physical eyes, or in their physical presence. This is similar to if, let's say, you do something wrong and someone witnesses this. So a person saw directly what you did wrong. Now, before that same person, to someone else, you say, I did not do it. So you are lying to the person you are telling, that you're telling you didn't do it, and you are doing so in front of someone who saw it, and you know they saw it. So you are so utterly shameless that you will readily lie, I never did such a thing, before someone who saw you do it. So similarly, making these false claims before the Buddha is similar.
On dini di du shebene chebar ma ware cheba ma wa se de da bene le kunje me ba ma wa se de cheba ma wa se gyusaba le dini de bu de ge chya yo ma re se da mi ge wa sa ba dini ne de bu du ma chya yo ma se dini chebar ma wa se de le gyu le dini de bu chya yo ma re se da du shi ni cheba ma wa se si wa da chi ro be cheba ma wa se ge wa nga chi yo ma re se da dini ki
So in the sentence, he is deceiving the world before the eyes of all the blessed ones. So that I've explained. And it concludes with, and propounding nihilism. Nihilism then refers to saying that something that in reality does exist, does not. So this is a nihilistic presentation. And in this context, it refers to not accepting karmic cause and effect. So the cause and effect is something that does exist, but the nihilistic attitude towards it would be, there's no such thing. And this is a fairly common view in the world. There are many non-Buddhist presentations that do not assert cause and effect, and in fact say that results do not require specific causes. So how then is this person who's claiming to be a Mahayanist when they are not, when they haven't even really begun to accumulate the causes, how are they propounding nihilism? Because they are, by claiming to be something they are not, they are claiming to have attained a result without the accumulation of the required causes. So they're saying, I am a Mahayanist, but they cannot point to the causes they have accumulated, such as ethical restraint, because they have not done so. So therefore, they are making not just a false statement and telling a great lie, but they are in effect stating that one can become a bodhisattva without ethical restraints and other causes. So therefore, they are propounding nihilism. Nihilism in relation to cause and effect, or not accepting or rejecting cause and effect, is one of the wrong views, and we'll look at that later on in the text, in this presentation on karma. And because of this wrong view, because of having this wrong view, the quotation continues, at the time of death, he will be very confused, so confused due to having this wrong view, and will fall in the wrong direction. And then we see Lama Tsongkhapa clarify in the line below, falling in the wrong direction should be understood as a synonym for the miserable lower realms. So due to having wrong views and the karmic causes that this leads to, that one then accumulates, this leads to rebirth in the lower realms. So this expression, fall in the wrong direction, is just another way of saying taking rebirth in the lower realms. That then concludes looking at the first of the two outlines here, the principal teaching of the 10 paths of action. So we saw before that the chapter started with the general characteristics of karma, and now we've started last night to look at the specific categories of karma. And we've looked at that first outline, the principal teaching of the 10 paths of action, and now we come to establishing actions and their effects, which actually starts with those same 10 non-virtues that have been referred to, where one comes to look at them in some detail. And thereafter, one comes to look at their results, their effects, and that then is later followed by virtuous actions. So here one comes now to a detailed presentation on each of the 10 non-virtues. And this knowledge is required so as to serve as the encouragement to abandon them completely. So here we see that this second outline is of establishing actions and their effects of three sub-outlines, non-virtuous actions and their effects, virtuous actions and their effects, and other categories of actions.
We have in the first one, non-purchase action. So the Tibetans literally black karma or black actions, but the meaning is non-virtuous. And likewise, the second point, virtuous actions. So the Tibetan here is literally a white karma or white actions, but the meaning is virtuous. And so then the third category, which we'll start in our book only on page 137, are other categories of karma. So of the first, non-virtuous actions and their effects, that's where we start. So we see there that that too is divided into three. So first is the actual non-virtuous parts of action or karmic parts. So this is where there's a detailed presentation on each of the 10 non-virtuous karmic parts. And thereafter comes a presentation on page 130 of the differentiating karma into what is heavy and what is light. And then finally, a presentation on the karmic effects.
And so you ballet dumbo, so to be she or that so to be so to be she, then sambache, joase, tarduxe, tishigo or that tishi tango or that so to be le lam, and le lam to musu, mwene de chavala, then they get twinging she, kishim shiko or it, so to be she, and then samba, joa, tarduxe.
Presentation of the actual non-virtuous parts of action starts with the three which are physical, the four which are verbal, and ends with the three which are mental. Each of these 10 are presented in the same way. They have four sub-points. And we see here there's basis, there's attitude, there's performance, and then there is the culmination or completion. So all 10 have these are presented by means of explaining the basis, so to whom the action is directed, the attitude, which has its own subdivisions, the actual performance of the non-virtuous action, and then what brings, and its conclusion or its completion, that is the final of the four. So looking then at the first physical non-virtue, that of killing, here we see the basis. The basis of killing is another sentient being. So here, what is the object or who is killed? It has these two components. It needs to be a sentient being, and it needs to be another, so one other than oneself. So those two components, one other than oneself and a sentient being.
So, rang le xian ba shui gu re ma do rang ge rang shui ba na so ju bi le lam zu gu ma le ji dan so ju bi le lam ba yong su zu ba la ane rang le xian bi xian xi shui ba gu rang le xian ba shui ge sim jin de rang le xian ba gu re ma do rang le rang ge so san shui ba na de so ju bi le lam de cha ga zu gu ma le ta so ju bi le lam yong su zu ba la cha san zu ba de la
So the basis for killing, so to whom this physical action is directed, needs to be a sentient being. That means if one kills plants, this is not killing. We may use this word, we may say plants have life, but they are not sentient. We may use the term killing plants, but one is not taking life. So for one to accumulate the non-virtuous karmic path of killing, it has to be directed towards a sentient being. And then the second point, a sentient being other than oneself. So this excludes suicide. And this needs to be understood very clearly, that for one to accumulate the complete non-virtuous karmic path of killing, it needs to be a sentient being other than oneself. Now, this does not mean that it is virtuous to commit suicide. It doesn't mean that there are no karmic consequences from killing, and it certainly doesn't mean that the karmic consequence of suicide, and it certainly doesn't mean that the karmic consequences of suicide are slight. Doesn't mean any of these things. But for the full karmic, the karmic path of killing to be accumulated, the definition presented by the Buddha is that it refers to killing a sentient being other than oneself.
So to
get across clearly, suicide, when one takes one's own life, as oneself is a sentient being, one is a basis for the act of killing. But suicide does not lead to the complete karmic path of the non-virtuous act of killing being accumulated, because it doesn't fulfill the definition. But one is still a basis for killing, and it certainly still has consequences. So therefore, both self and other are the basis for killing. In other words, killing can be directed or enacted upon oneself or others. But for the complete non-virtuous karmic path of killing to be accumulated, then it needs to be directed at someone other than oneself. Then to attitude. So attitude here and for all ten has three divisions, three subpoints: that of discernment or perception,
that of affliction, mental affliction, and that of motivation. So for the non-virtuous karmic path of killing to be complete, one needs the correct basis as well as these three components of the attitude. So that of discernment means you need to discern the person that one is killing, so that particular person. And in terms of the mental affliction, any of the three poisons, attachment, anger, or ignorance, and in terms of the motivation, there is the wish to kill. So these three are required to fulfill the components of attitude. And basis, attitude, performance, and culmination are all required for one to have the complete karmic path of killing. So for example, if one is walking and inadvertently kills an insect, has one killed? Of course. Has one accumulated the complete karmic path of killing? Not at all. And why is that? Well, there was a basis, so there was a sentient being other than oneself that was killed. But the attitude is completely missing. Those three components of a motivation, the wish to kill, that wasn't there. You're walking and inadvertently killed an insect. There wasn't any mental affliction guiding this motivation. And the discernment of that insect is what I want to kill, that too was missing. So all three of these components of the attitude were missing. So therefore, whilst killing has occurred, one hasn't accumulated the non-virtue of the karmic path of killing. What does it mean then that one has not, despite one having killed an insect, not having accumulated the karmic path of killing means that one hasn't created the karmic cause that can lead to rebirth in the lower realms? And why hasn't one accumulated the karmic cause that can lead to rebirth in the lower realms? Because the various components, the conditions, are lacking. So killing has occurred. One's body was involved with killing. But the various required components are not there, and therefore the karmic path has not been accumulated.
Yimba Then simje main bejilia simje resha simbe dushe chichida ti chigungruwa then simje main begi chin nagona din shiye ne chikyo da dipen simje resha ti so go simbe de der de simje main bejilia simje dushe ba che then simje yin bejilia odi simje re me do simbe dushe che then denige ne simje yin bala ne simje kasore yin ba dushe ba che chigruwa ti dushe shiyung do Semjian Dushe Tela, Saint Tampo Dushe Kasore, Yimbala, Semjian Yimbala, Semjian Yimbar Dushevache, Semjian Mayimbala, Semjian Dushevache, Semjian Yimbachilia, Semjian Mayimba Dushevache, the Negare Sumroswan, the Ne Ah, Roa, the Chigarita Dushene, that is Semjian Yimbar Dusheva, that Semjian Mayimba Dusheva, Chagroda, Semjian Yimbar Dusheva Chiche, Semjian Mayimba Dusheva Chiche, then Semjian Yimbala, Mayimba, Semjian Mayimba Dushe, Semjian Mayimbala, Semjian Yimbar Dusheva, said Dushi Hichadore, Dushi Yores, Chida Dushe, Dushi Yawal Mason, Dush Yawachevane, Dishi Ungurese.
So within attitude, we all look at first, Lama Tsongkhapa presents in detail that of discernment. Just says the translator, the term discernment, the Tibetan is translated in many different ways. Maybe most commonly is that of perception, but it can be differentiation or discrimination. So in different contexts, you'll come across it, like I think of the mental factors, it's called discrimination most commonly. But other translators, yeah, instead of discernment, will say perception. So it's a very broadly translated word. Anyways, returning to Lama Tsongkhapa, the discernment has four possibilities. So discernment, again, means discerning the basis. So one needs to correctly discern the basis for killing, or the basis, the sentient being that is to be killed, or that is killed. So the discernment has four possibilities. Discerning discerning a sentient being as being a sentient being, that is one. Discerning a sentient being as not being a sentient being is two. It's not being a sentient being is correctly discerned as not being a sentient being. Or what is not a sentient being incorrectly discerning it as being a sentient being. So Lama Tsongkhapa writes this, when the basis is a sentient being, the discernment of it as a sentient being, so that would be correct. When the basis is a sentient being, the discernment is of it not being a sentient being, so that it would be incorrect. So for example, if the light's not very good and you see a person, but you don't recognize it as a person. You think it's a log or something like that, a tree stump. So then that is a mistaken discernment. Then thirdly, when the basis is not a sentient being and the discernment of it as not a sentient being. So this is, again, correct, where something is not a sentient being and you recognize it as not being a sentient being. And then fourthly, when the basis is not a sentient being, but the discernment is of it as being a sentient being. So this is a mistaken discernment, where something isn't a sentient being, but you mistakenly think it is. And again, that could happen perhaps in poor light.
Oh, yeah. That is what I'm saying. That is what I'm saying. That is what I'm saying. If you're saying that, you're saying that. 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 If you're saying that, Simje member, and it to sheba, Simje Mayimbe Chila, Dissimje Risha Simbeke sometime, Simje member, and it to sheba, Simje member Chile, Simje Yimba to sheba. Casuals. That dene, denegim, Simje Mimbala, Simje member to sheba, Dissimje Mayimbe, Lo, Dissimje Rimido Simbeke sometime, someday to sheba did that, and to sheba chicche. That dene, Simje la. Simjin do Dushe Pache, Simji, the Simjin Risha, Simbe Dushe Baina, Ne, Kaseta Simje, Dushe Vashije, Aranges Dido, Simjin Tabo, Dushe Pache, Adi, Dundala, Simjin.